Before we get to tonight's Wednesday recap of Big Brother 21, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Brook Linen. You know, you spend one third of your life watching Big Brother and also in sheets. Don't you want to make them insanely comfortable now that the weather is warmer? Maybe it's time to switch up your sheets and duvets to something a little breezier, lightweight, and soft. Check out the newest linen collection with a beautiful assortment of colors from Brook Linen. Brook Linen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers with no middlemen. Beautiful, airy linen pieces to give your bedroom a chic, relaxed feel while providing you with the ultimate comfort. You'll be the head of household every single week. They've got 12 beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. That's how Brook Linen got 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other bedding company. It's in their name, so you know it's good. Brook Linen's newest linen collection is amazing. I couldn't recommend their products more for graduates, newlyweds, friends, or family, or treating yourself to the bedroom upgrade you deserve. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just to our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code ROB at Brooklinen.com. Brook Linen is so confident in their product that their sheets, comforters, and towels all come with a lifetime warranty. And the only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code ROB at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code ROB, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Or as Tommy would say, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Coming to you live from a hotel room in Florida, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who loves podcasting about reality TV more than Big Brother loves bird poop. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast on a very special episode where I am on the road down in Florida at the Podcast Movement 2019 conference. I'm here to talk about Big Brother here on a special night. And we've got a great guest, a man who's no stranger to podcasting about reality TV. Please welcome from the Challenge Mania podcast, Mr. Scott Yeager. Scott, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Scott, very excited to have you here. Excited to be podcasting with another podcaster on this special crossover edition. How big of a Big Brother fan are you?
Very big. Well, if you consider the fact that I spend three nights a summer watching it with my wife, it's got to be up there with everything. You know, it's like it's an internship is what I call it.
And there's so much crossover into the MTV reality world from Big Brother contestants that the MTV reality and Big Brother shows are getting closer and closer.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, you like a show when you watch it, when you don't have to. And, you know, we were watching Big Brother when it had no implications for the challenge. And now that it's essentially another feeder system for the challenge, more than even the MTV shows are these days, it's a dual purpose. So, you know, we integrate it into our podcast whenever we can. And we've been having Big Brother guests on, not even just the ones that have been on the challenge, but we had Scotty on recently. So we're trying to, you know, merge the two, as I think MTV and CBS are kind of now too, with the whole Viacom thing coming at you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It's all happening. And there's no greater proof than the fact I ran into Marlena today. Look at this.
Oh,
I ran into Mark and Elena.
X on the beach is own.
Yes. Yes. It's all right. All right. Let's meet the rest of our panel here tonight. Okay. We have another special guest here with us. Our own Matt Liguori is here. Matt, how are you?
Yes, I'm here. I'm very excited to be talking about this season. I haven't been able to do it a whole lot, but very glad the universe was able to bring us together. If nothing else, the universe could help us out with tonight.
Yes. So. And the man who controls the universe, Taryn Armstrong, is here as well. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. Very happy to have conspired with the universe to get Matt and Scott on with us. Very excited to talk with these guys.
Okay. All right. So No Scott St. Pierre. He is traveling as well tonight. He's headed to Los Angeles. I'll run into him in person very soon. So if you have questions that you want to get into the podcast, you will have to either tweet them to at Armstrong Taren or at Rob Cicerino, or you could tweet them to Scott Yeager or to Matt Liguori as well. We'll take whatever questions you guys have later on in the show. And then tomorrow night, boy, it is going to be another first, as Caitlin Herman is going to be podcasting from my house for the eviction. I will be flying back to Los Angeles, and it will be a who's on the show tomorrow night with Caitlin, Taren?
It'll be myself and Melissa.
Okay, all right, Taren, Melissa, and Caitlin from my house. All right, Scott, is this a good idea? Would you let any of the Challenge People podcast from your house when you weren't home?
I wouldn't let the Challenge People run into my house to turn the oven off if it was on.
Okay, all right. Scott, can you tell us that just for the uninitiated, can you tell us just what Challenge Mania is? Sure. And how you got that started?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do essentially what you guys do for, you know, Survivor and Big Brother mainly. I know you guys have a lot of other shows on your network, including one for the Challenge. But we've sort of over the last year and a half now become the largest Challenge companion podcast. And the reason has nothing to do with me and my charm. It's because my co-host is Derek Kaczynski, who's a three-time Challenge champ. He's played, mm-hmm. I think, over 10 seasons, very well liked by both the listeners and the viewers and the cast members. So most of our podcasts are long-form interviews with cast members of today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And then we have a Patreon as well, where we do weekly recaps of each episode of War of the Worlds, or whatever the given season is.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations on all your success with the Challenge Mania, and thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thank you guys.
It was a night where we really spent, I'd say almost more than half of the episode on OTEV. Went all in on OTEV tonight.
OTEV is the thing, Rob. It's that was what the promos were about. It was, hey guys, it's OTEV. OTEV's back. It's the classic thriller. Get ready for OTEV.
Yeah, really, Taren, that OTEV, the paranoid pigeon, this was, they felt like this, when you have a killer idea like OTEV, the pooping paranoid pigeon, you gotta do all that. Scott, was this for you a departure, just a show half an hour about bird poop? Were you waiting to get back to the high stakes strategy of the Challenge?
Well, it's interesting is that last year we had this great iconic OTEV episode where Rockstar goes and assumes that the person who got on the platform before her, Tyler, was right. So she kind of checked with him and he was wrong and she was right. He goes and switches it. So to me, it was like one of the more memorable moments of last season. And this one, you know, not so much. But I think maybe they had a whole different animal rigged. And then when they found out certain cast members hated birds, yeah, they're like, we'll bring in a big bird. This is going to cause some drama here. But it's fine. I mean, look, the main difference between the Challenge and Big Brother is, I think, the playfulness and the goofiness that is Big Brother. The antithesis of that is the Challenge, where it's a lot of masculinity and testosterone and adrenaline and this and that. And it's there are rumors that the new season was supposed to be called Bloody Hell, which is like, you know, the opposite of this. This is like Vito backwards. It's OTEV. So
yeah.
You figured it out. How'd you know?
Yes. Yeah. So if anybody picked this week to like try to get a friend or family member into the show, where we have a woman walking around in a bird costume and laying eggs that I guess we'll see tomorrow night. And, you know, a pigeon pooping on six people trying to bring, you know, chips back up to them. It's got to be a hard sell for some uninitiated audience members.
There was so much bird poop.
There was so much.
And not for nothing, white slime is not the correct color.
No.
Yeah. And
yeah. Even especially with the verbiage, I'm going to drop another load.
Like, right. Even Nick was like, yo, this is too much. Yeah. I'm grossed out. I've never been disgusted by anything. Yo, bro, this is getting gross. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even Nick is like, this is too far. You've gone too far, big brother.
So many times, too. Like every round, it was like, oh, just wait. Go. there it is. Did you get surprised again of the slime in your face? Oh boy, you got slimed. They love it so much. I don't understand.
But specifically bird poop. Yeah. There are no less than 5 times in any given Big Brother season where the contestants get sprayed with bird poop. Scott, is this happening that much in real life? Why is Big Brother obsessed with this?
You know, ironically enough, today, now that as the internet, is such a communal thing, and we all watch movie trailers the day they drop as a community, there was a new movie trailer out today called Last Christmas, I believe it's called, Amelia Clark.
I think it's like Angry Birds 2.
Well, it's Amelia Clark's first role since Game of Thrones, which I know is near and dear to your heart. And there's a moment in the trailer where a bird poops on her face. And it's like, oh, that the old adage is that's good luck. So I had gone all year not thinking about getting bird pooped on. And then twice within 6 hours today, bird poop infiltrates my life once again. So go figure.
Yeah, let's not forget that Christy got pooped on by a bird like a week and a half ago. So I don't know if that's where the inspiration came from, but it seems to be a theme. Nicole hates birds. I think they just kind of wrapped it up nicely in a little bow here.
I did recently watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and people really on Tarantino for his foot fetish. Uh-huh. I feel like we should be on top of the fact that there's somebody in Big Brother production that really just enjoys bird poop getting splattered on people just really, really getting off to this.
It's like every endurance comp is always like, oh, wait, do I hear birds?
There's one person in production is where they're coming up with ideas and they're like, oh, what about bird poop?
Every time. All right.
What's a new twist we can add to this one? Bird poop. I got it. It's bird poop.
Do it. Do it. You got to have it. Okay. All right. Matt, with Otev, they really ended up going also super dramatic on Kat and Cliff that Taryn described it so well over the weekend of the dramatic moment that we were about to watch unfold. And it certainly was dramatic from the standpoint of Cliff being eliminated, but I went into this really expecting maybe something, a fight that might take place on the challenge. And it really just seemed like that Kat cut him in line.
Yeah, I mean, I imagined they were at like the very top. Cliff had like just gotten one knee on the Otev pedestal at the top. And then Kat comes up and pushes him right down, sends him down the slide. And it's this huge, big moment just from the way they were describing it. That's not what happened. They both grabbed the rope at the same time. Kat kind of got the edge over him. And then, she gets to the top and starts crying, which is, I mean, I had just spent like the past 24 hours thinking about how great it was. CBS, Viacom merging. Kat's going to make it to the challenge next season, even if we can't get her a little farther on this season. And then she goes and apologizes for the smallest little push that she did on the, I'm like, all right, maybe she's not going to make it with the big tough guys out there.
Well, yeah. Taryn, could you give us the backstory here for people who are not familiar with what the story of the legend was from the live feed?
Yeah, well, I was curious because there's an unspoiled watch along thread on Reddit where people who are just watching the episodes watch. And I was curious to see what they thought. And most of the comments I saw there were, why is Kat crying? I don't know. Why is everybody crying? This is so weird. Just because she beat him? No, it's because Cliff was injured. He was legitimately injured. And I have people on Twitter now. Oh, Cliff wasn't injured. Turns out it was all just exaggerated. Cliff was actually injured. He injured himself somewhere in this competition. I'm just not sure we saw it. So what was told was that when the feeds came back, Kat was sobbing. She was in hysterics. She was very, very sad. And she was apologizing to Cliff, and Cliff was like, hey, it's all right. It's fine. It was your life or death. You had to do what you had to do. And people were talking about how she shoved him and ran over him. Cliff did say that he had also hurt himself earlier. I do think we saw earlier in the competition, or earlier in that round, he had stumbled over the initial log, and maybe that's where he injured himself and the rest of it was exaggerated. But most house guests were under the impression, including Kat herself, that she was the cause of this, that she pushed him and injured him, and that's why she was so upset, not that she had necessarily beaten him. But it seems like they're leaving all of Cliff's injuries completely out of the show, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
I don't know, Scott, it looked like that he was moving around pretty well when he was dancing in this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Cliff to me has, over the course of this entire season, but recently especially, he stands out as being way smarter than he looks and that he sounds. And not even just from a gameplay perspective, but in a I know what the show wants and needs perspective. From his whole like, oh, I don't need the diary room. I'm just going to use the kitchen as the diary room and play to every camera like a multicam news set. And I'm going to dance for the right amount of time so they can cut in music and stuff like that. And during this injury, almost, I mean, they say all the time in football that like the non-contact injuries are the scary ones. Yes. So there's a chance that they just don't have a highlight of him actually getting hit, and it wouldn't make sense narratively, but really it was just like him going like this underwater or something. And immediately in his head, instead of thinking, oh no, I'm hurt, he's thinking, well, I'm hurt, I can't win, now Cat has to win. He's already like two steps ahead of the grief and the injury and stuff like that. So I think the whole thing just played a little weirdly. Like, she's two steps behind, she's finding out he's hurt, she's sad because that, oh no, did I do it? Cliff's already two steps down the lane. He's like, Cat's got to win, let's move on. So
yeah, Taryn, it was almost like that Cliff wanted to pass the baton on to Kat when he's like, yeah, it's all right, Kat. You know, you go on without me.
Yeah,
you're
it really added
Boss Hog.
Yeah, it really added to the dramatic effect of just like, no, you must go on, Kat. Yeah. You must complete the mission. Leave me to die.
Cliff behind. Yeah.
You'll never make it with me. I'll hold the grenade back here. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kat couldn't get the job done, Matt.
Yeah, it was it felt a little bit like a funerally for like they had to know that the audience was probably hoping for a specific result that wasn't going to end up playing out. You know, Cliff and Holly and Jackson and all of them sharing their upset feelings throughout those diary rooms pretty much echoed what a lot of people were feeling.
Well, Scott, I have to echo the sentiment that Brent had during the LC roundtable about this field trip where they got everybody hot and bothered that, okay, here we go. Christy could be going home. She's up on the block and then spent the whole rest of the episode showing Christy crying. And I can't imagine that she's ingratiating herself too much to the audience. And then they made Kat and Cliff out to be super sympathetic figures, and one of them's going to go home.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that line where she's crying, oh my God, why me? And Jess just goes, matter of factly, well, only one person can win Big Brother. And it's just like, and she goes, but like, why me? Like, I'm Tommy's HOH. Oh my God. And unfortunately, Noah, you know, kind of knowing, having an idea where this veto thing was going to go, it's just like so anticlimactic that, you know, I wish we could, you know, as you said, start working in another direction. But instead, now, you know, we start building up these two very sympathetic figures that we like very much, Cliff, Kat, and one of them's going home. And the OTEV, I mean, could not have unfolded in a more anticlimactic way, right? Because we, in the order that, you know, first we lose Mickey, who it's like 2 weeks ago, if you told me I've been rooting for Mickey to win one of these things, I told you you're nuts, but I was, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's gone, and then you're like, okay, maybe Cliff could pull it. Nope, now he's gone.
No.
And then Kat, now I'm sitting here, and they wasted a whole segment on who wins, Nick or Tommy, really?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Just to circle back with Christy in the beginning of the episode, the Christy crying stuff was great, and she does a total 180 by the end of the episode. But in the beginning of the episode, she was even questioning her faith in the universe. That she was even saying, like, I don't even know why I'm, you know, God, why did it make me?
What if the universe doesn't exist?
Yeah, what if, I'm starting to think that there's no God, because on the block to that, I believe I manifested this. Wow.
Yeah.
What a turn in one episode, Matt.
Don't forget that, like, Christy cast her vote last week for Jack to stay in the house, for Mickey to go home, knowing full, like, completely that Jack was about to get evicted, because she thought that the universe would reward her for staying loyal to Jack. That's the only reason that she cast that vote, to keep Jack in the house. And then within like 24 hours, the universe slapped her in the face and said, you know, sorry, but America voted you into a competition where now you're going on the block. And she just did not take it well.
Scott, if I may paraphrase something that I once said a long time ago, that, you know, if God is watching reality TV, like, don't you think he's watching a show, or she is watching a show with a lot less bird poop?
Yes, probably. Yeah. And definitely on DVR. Or like on his own mental or her own mental DVR, like not live with us. I thought what was great about the whole like, oh, I believe in karma and God. And Nick tries to console her and he goes, well, at least like, you know, you didn't do anything to get put on the block, which like in a house context would mean like she pissed off four people and got voted on the block. No, she pissed off all of America. So millions of people hated her to the point where they, I mean, not in a God way, but the universe sort of did manifest this. Like we kind of did, like as a collective. Society decided you suck. So, you know, it's one of those things where
Big Brother getting, Universe did
in a God sense. It's really just like, no, it's just America, you know?
Yeah. I also liked, like, I did feel like shade to me to put Christy's crying segment directly after 5 minutes of Kat's crying segment. Like, let's feel bad for Kat. And now that you're sick of crying, here's Christy.
Right, it's like, yeah. Oh, now she's crying too.
Yeah.
Oh, get over yourself.
So, yeah, we just got a lot of that. And then ultimately, we ended up with Nick and Tommy as the last two. Tara, was this a throw by Nick to let Tommy win the HOH or did Tommy get it fair and square?
He claims that he was trying, that he was trying to win. And he was like, oh, he was kind of annoyed that he lost. He was trying to win it. Another part that was left out of the edit was that, you know, Kat mentioned that she had been stockpiling those clues. And the way that Tommy described it made it sound like he had stolen from Kat's stockpile in order to beat Kat. But perhaps what he was saying was that he had stolen from Kat's stockpile to beat Nick. It seemed like that might have been what happened, but ultimately Tommy won because he found Kat's little pile of clues, and that's why he beat Nick out.
Okay. Scott, did that look like a throw to you for Nick?
You know, it's one of those things where I think
flop.
Maybe. And it's funny about the whole digging in the pile thing. That to me is something that's like very, very challenging ish is the manipulation of the rules and hearing her say that, you know, having watched the show before and knowing that the key to it is to kind of hoard these things, keep them to the side, and then you keep going back to them. That sounds like something Big Brother should consider like a rule wrinkle where there's like, you know, you're not allowed to reposition them after you find them or something like that. Because I think now that for this episode it was focused on, that's just what everyone's going to do going forward. So with that in mind, was Nick trying to help him? Probably, but I think Tommy, you know, as Taryn said, probably figured that out and that's what helped him.
Matt, we also had tonight the segment of sort of setting up the Zanky-esque Nick and Tommy relationship. Is this going to be a thing?
This is like the most generous way they could have ever presented this, this whatever mans we're going to call it. Nick is
friend mans, I believe.
As if you've been listening to the updates
foot or mans.
Any of this, Nick is very touchy with a lot of people. And it's very often, not, something that people want to be happening. So the way that they framed this, I mean, it's not like Tommy's ever shown that he doesn't want any of this to be happening. Like him and Nick have this kind of relationship, but it's still, like I said, a very generous way to show it. It's going to be a thing, I think, if the two of them stay in the house for the next month.
Yeah. Zanky like cuddled sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not for really that long in the game. They are, Nick and Tommy are much more of a legitimate item than Zanky ever were.
Like if Tommy said, sure, like Nick would jump right in, I think, at any given moment.
So you think that Tommy is the one putting up the red light?
Yeah, I think so. Just from my perspective, I feel like Tommy has been saying like this whole season, my mom's watching. I got to make sure that I'm careful. Mom's watching. And he said in the preseason, I would, you know, if I can get a tasteful kiss inside the house, then I would love that. But I honestly feel like if he opened the door and said, Nick, yeah, Nick would be like, okay.
Yeah. Scott, remember like 2 weeks ago when Nick had a girlfriend in the house who's watching this show on the outside world that he was telling I love you to?
Doesn't he still think he has a girlfriend and that she is actually now sitting at a TV watching this by herself? Doesn't he still think that?
Yeah, and he thinks that she's fine with it, and it's not just Tommy either.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get that. But Tommy and Nick, the friend mans.
We got a segment last season with Swaggy going to Bailey's parents' house. I would be shocked if we did not get a segment of Bella commenting on Nick in the house at some point later in the season. Huge missed opportunity if they don't do it.
Yeah, that would be good. I think we have to see if we end up seeing it. I think that Bella commenting on Tommy, I don't know if that's going to be it.
Not on Tommy.
Yeah. Nick is also very friendly with Sis in the house, so we'll see if we end up seeing a Bella package at some point on a Thursday night later on in the season. But we have to see it on the show.
Was this an effort
to the Hearts of Reality? Every single one of them were there.
Yeah.
Was this an effort to make Nick a little bit more likable, you know, in a way? Because I think in a vacuum, if I wasn't paying attention to, you know, other stuff and other content, and Nick just came off as this kind of oblivious and, like, you know, fairly likable guy on the show. And then I saw this segment, I'd be like, oh, look, you know, look at Nick, very open-minded and this and that. But I feel like knowing all the other stuff, I'm just kind of like too little too late. And was this just trying to make Fetch happen where it's too late for it?
Yeah.
I think it was
a nice, convenient way of setting up the Nick and Tommy relationship, which is going to be very important moving forward. The fact that Nick was playing for Tommy and Christy in the veto, and then just in general, it's, you know, if Nick looks like he's going to be around for a while, then might as well not make people hate him too much, especially if they're already disappointed about Christy.
We didn't have a lot of game talk tonight, but one of the game conversations that we saw was Jackson working on Sis, Matt. And I thought this was another moment where Jackson was coming off really well on the TV show, where he's having to act like he doesn't want Christy to go home, but he really does. I really think that Jackson being a popular figure is happening.
It's really starting. I don't remember who. I think maybe it was Taryn that said something about how
it's always Taryn.
It's turning into somewhat like a beast mode cowboy kind of thing, where it's just like you kind of forget everything that happened in the beginning half of the season, and all of a sudden now he's the underdog. Now all of a sudden, I guess the diary room talks where they were telling him, "Hey, watch what you're saying." Now he's kind of come into some self-awareness, especially with Holly pushing him to like be very careful with what he's saying. And now all of a sudden he's this kind of reasonable guy who wants Christy out, which is what the audience wants. So mm-hmm. Now everyone's like, all right, Mitchie, this is our guy. Jackson, Mitchie, whatever we want to call it. This is our guy.
Yeah. Scott, are you a Mickey guy or a Jackson guy?
Well,
or a
Mitchie guy? Funny is I was calling him Mitchie on my show, or yeah, Mitchie even. And my wife said, she goes, when you go on RHAP, if you don't say Mickey, I will be so annoyed with you. And I tried to let her know that, like, the first couple times I genuinely thought it was Mitchie or whatever, because the way it's spelled. But then after a while, it was that condescending, like, I don't like you, so I'm going to missay your name. Yeah. But she was like, you got to say Mickey. So I guess now I'm. It is Mickey.
I think I said was it saying Mitchie, but Taryn also said Kalia this morning, so I'm going to
Taryn, even Otev had to get on board with Mickey. I'm a Jackson guy.
Yeah, it's Jackson all the way. Jack is gone. We don't need to say Mickey anymore.
No, we can revert back to Jackson, right? Yeah. Confusion is over. Yeah, it's interesting with these guys, they are the picture perfect example of whether cancel culture can override, you know, just like redemption over the course of an entire summer. Because I think that, you know, a lot of people, especially those following the live feeds, within 2 weeks, we're like, these guys are terrible. Don't have them on your podcast. I hope the challenge doesn't cast them after this, which, of course, a lot of people were saying because both of them kind of fit that mold. And I saw it where I was like, look, the reason Big Brother's editing in this way is that, say they both get down to the wire and are the eventual heroes of this season, they don't want there to be all that dirt out there for all of America to have seen. And I think once Jack got eliminated, they were like, okay, now we can let a little bit of this go out there in the exit interview. But I think they were light on it with Mickey. And now it's kind of paying off because he's having that mid-season sort of Brett turn that Brett had last year, where he went from annoying, saying bro every diary interview, to actually kind of likable towards the middle of the road here.
Yeah, I really think that Jack last Thursday was the sacrificial lamb, and that Jack had to be put out there and hung out to dry so that Jackson, a.k.a. Mickey, can live.
He took the heat for the entire alliance, like everything that was going on in the house, all the problematic things that people were saying. It just kind of, they dumped it all on Jack. Not that he didn't deserve it. Like they dumped, they're trying to like close that storyline and try to make it seem like, all right, now we did what we had to do. And, you know, now everybody else is all great going forward. So
do you think he was prepped for that, that interview at all? Or like even in a broad sense, if they didn't know he was definitely getting voted out, if they were just saying that like, hey, just so you know, during an exit interview, some of the clips might be presented, because he had, you know, what my wife was describing as, you know, pretty well thought out answers for being put on the spot, especially with the rice thing, and had an answer that I actually thought was, you know, pretty sufficient. And just being put on the spot in 2 seconds and having that, I was a little bit, you know, suspicious. So what do you guys think?
You talked about this on the live feed update. What do you think?
I don't think he was prepared for to be questioned by Julie. He was talked to in the diary room immediately following the Stomp a Mudhole comment. And I know that Tommy and Christy had spoken about the rice comment together. I don't remember if they talked to Jack about it. So I can't say for certain whether or not he was prepared for that from the diary room or from Tommy and Christy. But he definitely knew about the Stomp a Mudhole. He was prepared for that one. And so that's why I think like, he looked terrified to me when she was like, let's roll the clip. And he was like waiting with bated breath. Oh my God. What did I say? Oh, Mudhole. Oh, thank God. I already know about this one. Here's my response. So I don't think he was prepared. That's not the sense that I got.
You know, Taryn, did anybody ever go back to the night in question that Jack was talking about with the rice pudding thing where he said, oh no, that was something that was going on in the house. We were saying that. Did anybody ever check the tapes from that night? Cause I feel like that you'd have a pretty clear answer if rice pudding was a joke that was being talked about with the slop from that night. And if it was, then okay, let's give him credit. And if it's not, then I feel like then you have your answer.
Right. I think the problem is that I think people might have attempted this, but I think the problem is that while the feeds, you know, this is perhaps one of those times when it's actually legitimate to say we don't always see everything. And so the feeds weren't necessarily on the kitchen the whole day leading up to that or whatever it was. So theoretically, I think it's possible, but most people don't think they think he's, you know, making stuff up. I don't really know how to say for sure that this did or did not happen. But, you know, either way, it's plenty of other bad things.
Let me give a shout out to McCray in the chat. He says we need Big Brother detectives to search the day of the feeds to find the rice pudding comment.
Yeah, where are the satellite leaks for this one?
Where's the satellite leaks? Matt, will you volunteer to jump on that grenade and rewatch that day in question tomorrow on the live feeds?
I do not volunteer.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see if we can get anybody else. All right, Scott, do you see any potential for anybody that's in this cast to appear in a future challenge or MTV reality production?
Yeah. So what's interesting is there's the year exclusivity thing. So there's essentially a delay of about a year. And then depending on where that falls with where they're filming, could be a year and a half and almost 2 years that by the time you see him on air. So just now, our last season of the challenge, we had the debut of Josh Martinez,
yes,
who won 2 seasons ago, and who honestly wouldn't have been like, when you watch Big Brother, like that guy is going to be on the challenge, but has fit in perfectly. And you did see some people who maybe when you look at the mold, you're like, oh, body for the challenge, like a Vic. No, you know, paint dry. And he wanted nothing to do with it after being there for like 2 days. So obviously, you know, your Jacks and your Jacksons do, you know, fit the build per se. And I think Cat falls in there as well. Last season, I said Brett would be good. But I honestly think like throwing a monkey wrench like last season, like a Scotty. Or this season, I think maybe like a Kemi or a David who was, you know, voted off very early, I think could be interesting. So it's one of those things where sometimes the obvious choice isn't always where they're going with this. But now again, with that merger, who knows? Is it going to be even more? Yeah. Are they going to be pushing people in that direction?
Well, I don't want to go take this too far off topic, but just to for the uninitiated, that there was a big merger between CBS and Viacom, which owns the MTV networks. And, you know, there was, so, you know, they were somewhat separate entities at one time that they, I believe it, that Viacom was the parent company
of CBS earlier than that. Scott, do you anticipate that we will see more crossover now that this merger has happened?
Can't confirm this is why, but I'll say this. Last week, they just revealed the new season of The Challenge was going to be on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock with 90 minute episodes. And the Survivor fans like me were like, that's terrible. You're going to go head to head with Survivor. This same day the merger was announced, they balked and said, actually, we're going back to 9. So I don't know if that's like a, you know, them nudging them in that direction or them saying, okay, now there's a synergy here. Why compete? But if that decision was a sign of things to come, maybe they let them out of the exclusivities now in less than a year, because now it's almost like Big Brother doesn't necessarily, and I've heard this from conversations I've had with the people who have made the move, Big Brother doesn't want their alumni going on to The Challenge.
Yes.
So maybe now they will.
Okay. Do you anticipate that we will see Survivor players appearing on The Challenge? I know that Jay did X on the Beach.
And he was pegged. He was what I was told earmarked for The Challenge, but he was very not well liked on X on the Beach and had a bit of an incident or something like that. And him and Morgan, who I think were the exes, she actually went on to do The Challenge and he got cut. So I do think, yes. And I think that Survivor, especially since it's been skewing so much younger with the casting, especially with like the season themes that have entire casts, it seems like, of people that are in their, you know, early to mid 20s, late 20s. I do think we'll see it, especially with the merger, for sure.
Okay. Taryn, this was such a weird episode where we spent so much time on OTEV, so much time about crying about people being on the block, that this was that they gave us almost nothing else.
Are you forgetting the dance?
Yeah, the day. Yeah, we got Cliff getting hyped up. Was that an accurate representation of that, Taryn?
Pretty accurate representation. A lot of people are like, how is he injured if he's dancing? It was actually the reason he was dancing was because he was stiffening up. He'd been sitting there for so long. He's like, I need to keep moving, because he had just re-injured his leg actually earlier in the day. So he was trying to keep it warm, so to speak. But that wasn't entertaining, sort of monologue he went on. I felt like it could have been funnier on the show, but you know, they did their best.
They did a good job with it. Matt, I know that you are one of the biggest Jessica stans that are out there. We got to see her at the close out the episode talking about how you know, she might not be good at this, she said.
I felt something like flagged up in my head as the episode was ending, and they went to three separate diary rooms. I think it was Holly, Nicole, and Jessica right on the way out. And it was like three people who were very uninvolved in the episode.
Yeah.
But they just made sure to get a little bit of airtime with them in. I mean,
not Holly.
A point in the season where, they get to a point in the season where it's hard to say. In some seasons, it's easy to tell who might be there at the end. Last season, they probably had a pretty good idea. Tyler, Casey, and Angela were going to go pretty far, but this season it really does feel like anybody could be there in the end. The power's been shifting back and forth, so getting, you know, a couple comments from a few random people at the end wasn't too surprising, you know, Jessica included, because Jessica could still win this freaking game.
Yeah. Scott, do you have a horse in this race? You have somebody that you are particularly high on?
You know, if this gives you any inkling, I love Cliff, because I made the joke at the beginning of this season that I think the reason the show is called Big Brother is they cast a bunch of people in their late 20s and then one big brother. And it's like, so they're just this fish out of water. And some seasons they go home early, like a Steve or a Glenn. And then sometimes you luck into a Kevin who goes far, but doesn't really ever maybe have a chance. I think Cliff does have a chance. I think he's savvy. I think he's smart. There was a live feed clip somebody sent me of the whole cast sitting around talking about the challenge, and Cliff knew more about the challenge than anyone, and albeit he's never going to be cast on it. But I love that about him, that clearly he's a student, not just of this game, but of many games. Yes. So I'm team Cliff all the way.
Are we going to have a Cliff Hogg appearance on Challenge Mania?
I would love it. It would be fantastic. And the second he comes home, I will DM him and see if we can make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Taryn, anything else to talk about from the episode before we get into the campaigning going on? We still have a very close vote to talk about for Thursday.
Yes, I did notice the Jess in the episode talking with Christy again. I feel like sometimes they don't want to portray things in a certain way. Jess is very much like on board with Christy when she's Jess is talking about how Christy's a straight shooter, how she's all about keeping Christy. When they tried to talk to Jess about voting Christy out if she stayed on the block, Jess was like, let's take this one step at a time. Let's slow this down. Let's. She was not nearly as on board as they made it out to be.
Matt, they gave her on the episode. She was like the Mariah Carey gif of I don't know her when they talked about saving Christy in the episode.
Right, which is what all of the fans were saying up until last week about Jessica. We had no idea.
Not you.
I don't know where you're getting this from.
You love Jess.
Fan. I'm not a Jess fan. I mean, we'll get there if she can make another big move. But
okay. All right. Taryn, I don't have my buzzer with me, so that I don't know if we're going to be able to get the spoiler song. I may be able to pull it up on the Rob's a Podcast app soundboard potentially. But if you're going to be joining us or if you're leaving us now, be sure to catch us on Thursday night when we are going to be back after the episode. I say, but I will be on an airplane. And Taryn and Melissa and Caitlin will be together for the episode tomorrow night. And so let me see if I have that. No, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. All right. We're going into the spoiler. Scott, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not sure if you're a fan of the spoiler song.
My wife is very disappointed right now. She's like, I didn't even get the spoiler song. Sorry, Lindsay. Spoiler. This is a spoiler. I'll do it for you. There you go.
Yeah.
This there is like go. Being on Big Brother, but not getting to compete in OTEV.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right. One of the problems with me traveling, why I don't like to leave the house. Okay. All right. Sorry, everybody. All right. No spoilers, but all right, Taryn, we're 24 hours away from the vote. Where are we at?
We are currently at a still very close vote. It is looking like things are leaning toward Cliff staying. But I've been saying this all week long that is not locked in by any means. There is lots of opportunities for things to change, including Tommy and his side changing their minds, or perhaps Nicole changing her mind. The votes as of right now look like Christy, Sis, Nick, and Nicole as votes to evict Kat, and Holly, Jackson, and Jess to keep Kat. So obviously Kat would be evicted in that scenario. Now, Holly and Jackson have talked about if the votes aren't there, they may flip over and add their votes to the other side, making it a 6-1 vote with Jess being the only one to keep Kat around. However, obviously there are two points of weakness here in the vote. Nicole, if they can flip Nicole and get Nicole to keep Kat, that would be a way to keep Kat around. Or if they are able to convince Nick and Christy and Sis and Tommy, all of those people, that that Kat is better, then that would allow them to keep Kat around. So that's what they've been doing today. They've been finally making their push today, having a little bit of success, but not quite enough yet.
Okay, Matt, Kat, your girl is on the ropes.
And as terrifying as it's been, and I mean, I've spent the past couple of days thinking, all right, well, Nicole's the only hope here. It seems like Tommy and Sis are locked in. Nick and Sis are locked in with Christy and Tommy, knowing that, you know, that's what they want. They want Kat to go. Christy and Tommy have been very adamant about that for the past couple of days. But then today, a couple hours ago, it seemed like maybe Nicole isn't the vote that we necessarily need so much, or just the one that, Nicole's been kind of stuck. She's been kind of, I like Kat, but she still kind of spills too many of my secrets, or she did that one time, so I'm going to try to keep Cliff. And then today, Kat did some campaigning with Nick that really kind of opened Nick's eyes. And I don't know if it was just today that's opened Nick's eyes a little bit, but it seemed like the conversation got going, and there was maybe some more hope today for the rest of the Kat stands than there has been in the past couple of days.
So you're more bullish heading into tomorrow than you had been all week.
I'm never going to get too excited, because this has been, as much as Taryn is, I agree that I think it's very close. It's like one of the closest votes we've seen in a long time. It's still, I don't want to have too much hope.
Yeah, something important to note about Kat and Nick is that they have been, I don't even want to say they have been flirting. Nick has been touching cat.
Something like Nick.
And that's not the Nick I know.
Right. And so, like, that's a relationship that's been, like, he's been kind of, like, doing that and then, like, then going to Sis and be like, are you jealous, Sis? Are you jealous of me and Kat? And just, Sis is like, you're trying to make me jealous with your cat stuff. And so, like, that's been happening. And they had a conversation earlier today where she was talking to Nick about, like, man, you know, Nick, I wish we had gotten closer earlier in the season. But you were with Bella. And so that we weren't able to. And he was like, well, you were with Jackson. And they're like, oh man, if only. And,
yeah, what might have been.
And so now when Kat makes her pitch, which isn't very different from her previous pitch, he's now like in tears, like, oh, I really want to keep Kat, guys. He says strategically it's the same. He doesn't think it makes sense. He thinks it's smarter to evict Kat. It's just his heart. He just really wants to keep Kat around. He really wants to have Kat in the game. So that's something that has changed. And he talked to Tommy about it, but Tommy said, Nick, that's not smart. It's not smart. Don't do that. And Nick was like, well, I mean, it comes down to Nicole, I guess. It's saying, you know, Nicole's the swing vote. And in this moment, I was like, oh, Nick might be doing the thing he did last week where he's blaming it on somebody else. And he's going to go and tell Nicole, hey, you should vote out. You should vote to keep Kat. And then be like, oh, it was Nicole's choice. I did what you wanted, Tommy. It doesn't seem like that's the case quite yet. He did have a conversation with Nicole where they both agreed again that it's best to have Kat go home. But Kat is continuing to campaign. She talked with Jess for a while. Jess promised her vote. She cried to Christy for a bit. And she also talked to Nicole for a bit. So like I said, things are looking a little more positive. Nick is open to it now. Christy's still not on board. Sis is not on board. Tommy's not on board. But can they get Nicole? That's the other thing here. With Nick kind of on board, it's easier to get Nicole. So the door is starting to open a little bit.
And I don't know if I'm hoping that Scott is with me on this, but I really feel like we've seen the chops from Kat that if this is not her last reality television appearance, if she does make it to another show like The Challenge, I think she has the capabilities to be an active player and to, you know, even if this season doesn't end up the way that she wants it to go, in any other situation, I think she could get the job done and go far in a game just based on her strategic ability. I think that she has it.
Wow, that's very high praise for Kat.
I think she's been one of the most surprising players of the season.
Like, I get it. Like, oh my God, she's so funny. She's hilarious. What a character. But a very ringing endorsement of the strategic chops of Kat.
I think she's got it. I see it.
I think she has the potential. I don't think she's shown... I don't think she's lived up to that potential in the house thus far. I think that she's certainly made a lot of mistakes. You know, we can point to why she's here, going all the way back to Cliff's HOH. You know, she was the real reason why Jack never went home, because she wasn't a vote against Jack. She wouldn't do it. If she did vote against Jack, Jack would have gone home a long time ago.
He was on the block week one.
Things would have been very different. She very nearly went home week one. She volunteered for the block, you know, a couple weeks ago. Very nearly went home.
A 10 minutes away from being evicted 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And was she?
And then last week, I really do feel like the way that she handled, she and Jess handled the HOH is really what put her in the position she's in now. You know, not really doing anything to further her position, just using Jess as a sledgehammer and then hanging out in the HOH most of the time. So there are a lot of reasons why she's here, a lot of things that I don't like about her game, but she still has, like, there's still something there. Yeah. And certainly, you know, she also had a massive advantage in having Holly there. And even in her campaign, even though it hasn't been working, the fact that she's able to name a target blatantly and say, hey, Jackson is my target, and say, there we go, without any backlash on from Jackson, because she knows Holly and Holly can keep Jackson in line. That's a massive advantage to have in the first place. But like, there's still, it's not like she is somebody like Victoria, who's just like completely lost in her own
world.
She's
not an absolute zero.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, some people might mistake her to be in that place, but she's not.
could be low expectation.
I'm not calling her Dan Giesling here. I'm just saying that I think, especially on a show like The Challenge, where she's not the most physical threat out there. She's somebody that if at an exact situation like The Challenge, if she gets taken in as like the one rookie under like a Wes, I don't know how much this is going to go over with some of the Big Brother only fans, but somebody like a Wes's wing, and just you know, this is part of this is one person part of the squad. I think she can make a couple maneuvers behind the scenes. She's somebody who can play the game without it being too obvious that she was playing the game, because I think that she is somebody who could have been targeted. Well, she was targeted, I guess, a little bit earlier in the season, but she met, and I guess it's a Holly thing, but I still feel like she's got something.
You know, it's funny because it's making me, Dae Vaughn is somebody that really struggled in the Big Brother house, even though it was clear she had potential. Then she went on The Challenge, and I feel like, you know, based on the one season that I've watched of Dae Vaughn on The Challenge, it seems like she really shines there. So I feel like, I think there might be something to that where, you know, Big Brother might just not be the game for Kat, but if she goes on to The Challenge, that might be a better spot for her.
Okay, Scott, can you settle all this? But are there a lot of bitches conspiring on The Challenge? Would Kat be up to it?
So it's funny. It's like Dae Vaughn is like a strong personality who's very funny and self-aware. And so she can kind of get people to like and respect her very easily and also kind of fear her in a weird way. Whereas I think Kat, it was that I think we all kind of pegged her for being someone who's in the same group as the Sisses and the Jacks and the Jacksons. We're like, she's going to be one of them. And then come week two, she's like self-aware. She's funny. You know, she maybe has another dimension to it. So now I think it's maybe the credit's going a little too far. We're starting to misdiagnose her as being, you know, a savvy game player when, like, as you mentioned, she put herself on the block when she, like, totally didn't have to volunteer as a pawn, like way too early to do that, just because like people like you for 3 hours. And then, like you said, she almost went home. So I think she's coming off as too much of a wild card in the sense that she's, you know, in the same way she succeeded as being such a great character and dynamic. It's kind of like you never know what way she's going to go. And I think that's why I think she's now, the minute they can get her out, they're going to. So similar almost to what would happen with a Dae Vaughn as being a strong personality in the Big Brother house. So.
Yeah, this is the third time on the block for her, and I think it could be strike three in your eye. And in the first and the second time that she was up on the block, she came close to going home in the first week. Danger, like as close as you could come to going home the second time out. And then finally, so I agree, Matt. She has not been absolute zero. She's had some moments, but I think that. What would you say, she's replacement level?
Well, don't forget that she put herself on the block in that Holly HOH because she realized she hadn't been getting enough TV time. And yeah, she wanted to ensure that she got more TV time, which would maybe eventually get her on another show. So she's always thinking.
The breath stuff might get her on another show, yeah, too. The
3D chess of Kat's gameplay.
Kat's been playing this game since like apparently a month before the season, if you ask the right people.
So, yeah. And I will say, you know, the reason she was crying to Christy today was because she feels like she's going to go home before she completes her story arc, which would be very disappointing to her. She feels, she talked to Holly about how she feels like America's Favorite Player is going to be either her or Cliff. And so she'll be really pissed if she goes to the jury house and gets no camera time. So I do think that's a big part of her gameplay. So, and I think that she is very good at it. Like, I think there's a reason why we're still talking about her and we're even considering her.
She's
in
a great casting choice. It was slam dunk for casting. One of the few this season that you could say is, a 10 out of 10. But that being said, we're talking about her as the game player. I think still a lot to be desired. Going into the HOH tomorrow night, Darren, what are we expecting?
It's actually very interesting, at least to me, because we have something that doesn't happen too often in Big Brother. It's something that Survivor tries to manufacture with the three tribe format once they hit the merge, which is that there are three sides in the house. There's Nick, Tommy, Sis, and Christy. There will be Cliff, Nicole, and Jess, assuming that Cliff stays, and there will be Jackson and Holly. And so currently Nick is trying to bridge the gap between his group and Nicole's group, because Nick really wants to work with Nicole. And that leaves Jess out. He's just trying to pull in Cliff and Nicole to form a new six. And so he's trying to make that happen. Tommy doesn't really want that because Tommy wants the other group. Tommy wants Holly in, but he can't have Holly with Kat and with Jackson. He kind of wants to take out Jackson and Kat and then bring Holly in. And Nick also learned from Tommy last night that that he might be the target of Jackson and Holly. And so now Nick has spent all day today making deals with Jackson and Holly, talking about a six with them. And so Nick in particular is trying to make deals with both sides. Tommy's trying to avoid deals with both sides. And both all three sides are trying to make deals with all three sides, because everybody wants to be in the one spot where the other two groups are going after each other, and they throw the HOH. And some people think they're there, but they're not. And some people don't think they're there, but they are. And some people know they're there, but still want to win. And it's a big mess.
Scott, who will the next HOH of this house be?
You know what? I'm going to go with the guy who I think has, to me, the most pristine bend of a hat brim I've ever seen in my life. And that's Jackson Mishy.
Well, yes. Okay. Jackson and Matt, that I know the chances of that are probably higher than normal, with potentially the slip and slide on the horizon.
Are we making up that it's the slip and slide, or is it like something that has actually been confirmed in
any way?
It's
not confirmed. Well,
let's talk this through. But that Taryn, you said schedule wise, this took place after OTEV last season.
Yes. So go ahead.
All right. And then we can combine that with that. We know that Big Brother needs a competition for Sunday night. So it needs to be something that's not going to end during the episode. So I think that's, in terms of, look, it could be like, remember, we all expected the wall comp, and it was something, it wasn't exactly the wall, but it was like the wall. So if it's not slip and slide, it could be slip and slide adjacent.
Yeah,
I would hope so, at least, because like you said, they need something for the Sunday night episode. And if it's like just a full 60 minutes of filler and, what we got this week just times two, I think we'll all lose our minds. So.
And Scott, they would love a Jackson HOH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's like, obviously last week we loved it. This week we don't. These kind of house shifting HOHs where you have somebody, come in and decide, Jess says, I'm going to put up Jack and Jack. And then, and then you have Tommy Wynn and he, puts up these two people that we like. And, America almost threw the monkey wrench in it, but it doesn't play out. And so, as you mentioned, with those three sides or whatever you want to call them, corners, Taryn, the one in the middle, if either a Holly or a Jackson wins, that would, to me, be the most interesting there. And if you're telling me it's an endurance comp or something that's a little bit physical, I think I have higher hopes for Jackson being able to do it than if it was one of those quick true or false things where they have to memorize a video board or something. So.
Yeah, Taryn, I also want to, give you a credit for on the LC Roundtable, the naming of the three sides in the house. Can you reset the names you came up with for the three sides?
Yes, I call Tommy, Christy, Nick and Sis Team Manifest. Cliff, Jess and Nicole are obviously Cliff's angels still. And then Holly, Jackson and Kat are team. They know each other.
Yeah, I like when you yell it when you say it. So with the three sides, though, if Jackson got the HOH, Matt, could we expect a Christy and Tommy on the block? Will this destiny end up manifesting?
I have to believe so. I mean, Christy is a lock to go on the block, but is Jackson really going to go after Tommy after Tommy like pledged his allegiance to the two of them this week? And he said, I'm going to keep you guys safe. I want us to be good going
keep
forward.
Keep you safe. Don't worry about it.
I don't know what he would. I mean, I think Jackson is probably the pick, who will be the most hungry for the next HOH. And if it's a slip and slide, I think
Jackson's the most hungry.
So Jackson and Holly have talked about their nominations. They have previously said they would want to put up Nick and Nicole with a possibility for a Christy backdoor, with obviously Jackson being a lot more likely to follow through with the Christy backdoor than Holly. Holly was a lot more hesitant about the idea. Now, that plan may have changed today because they are now making deals with Nick, promising Nick that they won't put him on the block. So that might change. And they're also making a deal with Nick with this six with Christy involved. So perhaps they won't do that. Maybe they would even do something like Cliff and Nicole with the possibility of backdooring Christy, but maybe not. So that seems like the most likely answer for me right now.
Okay.
Maybe a little nicer to Nicole. You know, they're like kind of
who? Hey, sorry, who? Who?
What? How dare you?
She gets I love Nicole, but I mean, you mentioned she gets that 1 second of interview at the end of the episode to remind us she exists, and I just, it's funny. I mean,
that's why they have no keep putting bird stuff into the show, so right. People, yeah, keep people remember.
It's the only like, thing she has.
Nicole. Yeah, she needs a thing. That's her gimmick.
Apparently, are just walking rats. Apparently, yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard.
Yeah,
that. But rats,
yeah.
Which also walk. There's also other walking rats that are pigeons. So just so you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, just being a good and nice person is not worthy of airtime on the show.
Yeah,
that's about right. How is this cat going to be when Nicole ends up winning America's Favorite House Guest?
She would be pissed if Cat won.
Cat
or sorry, if Nicole.
Yeah, it's not Cat or Cliff. It ends up being Nicole, because that's where it kind of feels like it's going.
Let me ask about Cliff's injury. Is it the type of thing where now that if he does stay, that he's sort of, you know, assumed that, okay, well, this guy's never going to win anything again, and he can potentially skate to the end, like similar to the way like a Christmas did, who she got injured and all of a sudden she's in the final three when like, hello, she's like the most likable person on the show. She then perseveres all the way to the end. And she, to me, was like a hop and a skip away from winning. Could Cliff do something similar? Because he's just like, he's just, you know.
Not quite, just because they think that he is still a lock for any kind of mental competitions or puzzle competitions. They still are very scared of Cliff, even if he can't win physical competitions. That's how much of an impression he made on them when he battled his way back in so dominantly.
And Sis has been watching Big Brother since she was 10 years old or something. She's a super fan. So she saw Christmas win in HOH with a cast on her foot. So she knows that an injury is not going to stop Cliff. Sis is going to make sure that Cliff still gets targeted.
You know, as a Breaking Bad fan, I was really hoping that Sis in the chicken costume this week, I wanted to nickname her Los Pollos Hermana for Sis. But then I don't think it was going to catch on.
Well, she's not a good enough cook, Rob.
Yeah, that's right. So I have a question for Scott from Becca. Becca underscore love 7000 says, I know that Scott is a voice actor and does a lot of good impressions of the Challenge cast. Can you ask him if he's able to do any impressions of the Big Brother cast? Do you have any past or present Big Brother impressions that you do?
Well, I do a Josh Meatball when he comes on the show occasionally, one of those. But, you know, it's interesting coming into your, I mean, to me, the impressions in this domain or your world. It's funny, when Steven was on our show, Fishback, he was like, this is surreal. I'm on another podcast. I was doing impressions. But this season, I'm with you. I mean, the two easy ones are, you know, obviously the Staten Islanders or the New Yorkers with the, why am I on the block? And yeah. And it's very subtle. And
Rachel Swindler, really, that I can't give her enough credit for the job that she did. And after the show was over, she did a Cher impersonation. Yeah. Really.
To those that didn't watch the Rachel video, you should go back and watch it, because she also nails the mannerisms, like the body language too. She's really good.
So go ahead, Scott.
No, that's it. And then this season, it's not much of an impression, but I you know, Cliff to me has this tag that he uses that I didn't hear this episode, but he's always like, you know, dropping some knowledge where he's like, well, you know, I was pooped on by a bird once in college before the wife.
Before the wife.
And I feel like we're due for like about 6 months after the house. It's going to be like debuting on podcast one, Before the Wife.
Before the Wife with Cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got for you, Becca.
Probably, yeah, Cliff Notes, Before the Wife.
I think there was a Before the Wife drop in the episode tonight.
There was.
Where was it?
Competition. It was during OTEV. Yeah. It was, you know, I don't know if
it wasn't even like a dirty joke. It was just like something that happened to Cliff and then Before the Wife.
Yeah, I used to do this something or other, you know, Before the Wife.
We were hanging out before the wife.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's I used to get pooped on by pigeons all the time, you know. Before the Wife.
Easy. Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else that we need to cover here tonight?
Let's see. I don't think so. I think that, you know, I think it should be noted that the one of the things holding back, holding Kat back here is that, if, especially with Christy and Sis and Tommy, is that they feel like Cliff's word is good. So if they get Cliff's word on things, then they can trust Cliff because of the deal he made a few weeks ago, and they don't have to worry about him. Whereas Kat's word is not super good. She was claiming that Jackson was her target all week for so long in the game. And then when she had the opportunity, she didn't take the shot. She evicted Jack instead. And now she still claims to be targeting Jackson, but she also spends most of her time hanging out with Jackson and Holly. And so those, like that combination of things is a bad formula for Kat. And it's really been holding her back in terms of her campaign.
Okay, Matt, as the Kat apologist, that did she make the right call to vote out Jack last week?
I mean, yeah, Jack was doing nothing for her game. And in theory, she was kind of set up pretty well for like most angles of the house. I think, you know, she just kind of
got unlucky
spot with, you know, Tommy. I mean, Christy and Sis might have also done a similar kind of move. But I think with Tommy at the head of things, Tommy has been saying for at least a week that I've been noticing I want Kat gone. So it just kind of didn't work out. And I don't know. We'll see her on the challenge.
Scott, are we shaping up for an exciting second half to the season?
Yeah, I think we are. And I'll just say, just like optimistically at the beginning, like 3 weeks in, 1 week, 2 weeks into this, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go down to the wire with these people. But I will say with Mickey coming around and being slightly more likable and, you know, Nick cuddling with everybody in sight, I think that if it gets down to the wire and we have enough of, you know, the Cliffs and the Nicoles and the Jess, even depending on how you feel about her in there, even though we're losing Kat, who I think we can all agree is one of the most liked cast members, I do think it's interesting because I really, like last year, you know, I know he came in second, but like Tyler was like a lock to at least play a part in the finish last season. I have no idea this year. I really don't. So.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people are saying like, you know, there's a lot of bad gameplay happening in the house. I feel like it might actually be a little bit the opposite. I feel like there are enough people in the house that are operating on at least a base level. And that's why we're seeing three sides. It's why we're seeing so much movement happening with these three sides. You know, trying to position yourself in between the other sides. That's something we don't always see in Big Brother. Even last season, we had, you know, a top tier player in Tyler, and he kind of just positioned people, and it was one big positioning. But this is a lot of people looking at the game from all kinds of angles and trying to position themselves, and it's a big circle of like everybody moving at once, and so that kind of makes it appear to be that everyone sucks because nobody's in a fantastic spot like Tyler. What I think it really is that it's a bunch of people that are on around the same level, and it's a big back and forth.
Yeah, the three sides are fun. That Big Brother 18 gave us that. That was very exciting down the stretch. And so hopefully we should be so lucky until the next twist, Taryn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scott, my only prediction I'm locking in is that I'm feeling pretty good that Sis is going to end up in one of those final two chairs. I'm not happy about it, but I really feel like there's no possible scenario where Sis doesn't at least make like the final four and then just gets dragged into the final two. But other than that, I agree with Taryn. I think any which way this the rest of the season could go.
Yeah, any which way it could go is going to be good. That's a big meatball.
I think whoever brings her to the end will win.
I think isn't she kind of well liked by the, I mean, look, if we keep losing these people that we don't like, but that got along very well with Sis, unfortunately, vote wise, if she's in there with someone who we all think maybe played a better game, maybe Jack and Jackson and Holly and all that, maybe they vote for Sis, you know, like.
Yeah, I brought that up on the roundtable. I do think Sis can win the game. Not necessarily that she will win the game, but I do think she can, especially if she sits next to Nick, which I think is one of the more likely scenarios with her getting to the end. Just be prepared. Like, I would say, like, just what you need to do if you want to enjoy the rest of the season is stop having too much of a rooted interest in which side wins and just try to enjoy the dynamic in the gameplay.
You're telling people the wrong thing.
Taren. Big Brother fans don't watch the show for the enjoy the ride, Taren.
Try to pick one player from each side to root in, to root for.
Watch them run the table.
But no, then they hate that too. They can't be pleased.
Jessica stands, aren't we all?
Okay. All right. Scott, can you tell people how to check out the Challenge Mania?
Yeah, so Challenge Mania is a podcast on iTunes, everywhere you get your podcasts. You can also get the direct feed at challengemaniapodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Shot of Jaeger, on Instagram at Scott of Jaeger. And if you live in New York City, this Saturday, we have Challenge Mania Live at Caroline's on Broadway,
the
world famous comedy club. We do sort of like a live know-it-all kind of live panel thing with a pre-show meet and greet that's sold out, but you can still get GA tickets.
You got Caroline's on a Saturday night.
No. Oh, are you kidding me? No, we do the day. We do daytime.
I know how much it costs to rent it on a Wednesday.
No, trust me. We go in during the day. That's our strategy. Twofold.
That's smart.
You know, because A, the comedy clubs love it during the day. They're like, during the day, you're going to bring 300 people here. And also, our people, like, live podcast format is one of the few mediums that people think is cool during the day. And it opens it up to an after party and stuff. So Pauly Shore is actually headlining after us on Saturday night. But Pauly Calafiore, Big Brother fame, will be one of our guests. I don't know if that made you click purchase or delete, but
I would be there. I just said, but I would not, like, I need, I need security with
protection.
Me.
Yes. I'd recommend that, but I will give him a nice hello from you, Rob. I know that you, I think you have set your max on his Cameo. So no longer allowed to purchase anymore though. So if you do have a message,
I've done more for his career than anybody else.
Yeah, not more than Monster Energy drink.
Rob's a day oneer.
Yeah, ride or die.
Yeah.
But you can check tickets out for that at challengemania.live. We have six shows on the calendar right now through the end of the year. So,
Yeah,
we modeled it after, honestly, what you guys do. So, you know, really appreciate you having me on today and appreciate all you do for the podcasting world and such a great example you guys set in the professionalism with the video feeds and stuff. We're not even entertaining that. I get to go through and cut the audio with a fine tooth comb and make us all sound concise when we do our podcast. So really appreciate you guys having me on. And like I said at the beginning, you know, huge fan of the show. I listen to almost every episode. Lindsay listens to every episode. Doesn't even have anything to do with reality TV. She's listening to one. She's like, Robin is friend, you know, naming a baby. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And if people want to jump into an episode, you talk to Stephen Fishback.
Yeah. So, Survivor wise, we had, Stephen on, who's a big Challenge fan as well. So that was, I mean, it's almost 3 hours, it's all over the place, but we had, Davey Rickenbacker on, from Survivor fame as well. David versus Goliath, or as I call it, Davey versus Goliath. He's also a big Challenge fan. And recently, Big Brother wise on, we had Brett from last season. We had Scotty from last season.
Nice. So
we do those as kind of bonus episodes. And, you know, if there's people who like both shows, great, or just Big Brother, great. And we try to let people know, hey, there's no Challenge talk in these, 'cause that, you know, the Scotty one recently really doesn't have any Challenge talk. But selfishly, as a Big Brother fan, like, I love talking about these shows with you guys or with the cast members of the show. So we sometimes put a lot of that over at the Patreon, patreon.com/challengemania. If people want, Lindsay and I, my wife, we do a Survivor recap during the season whenever we can. So yeah, thanks guys.
Okay. All right. Of course, Matt Liguori, what do you have going on, Matt?
I actually will be there. I think, well, Scott knows this, but I'll be there, on Saturday at the, that live show. That's my, it's my birthday on Saturday. So I'm spending my birthday with,
Pauly Calafiore.
I hope everyone is going to sing you happy birthday.
Well, it's actually Scott's co-host Derek's birthday. So they're throwing Derek a birthday party. That's the point of this show. I'm just pretending it's my birthday party and I'm just going to listen to all the happy birthday chants.
Matt, my man.
So
birthday.
Well, coincidentally, it's funny because any Challenge Maniacs who happen to be watching this for the first time, because I'm on, they will now recognize you and people will actually, you know, see you and come up to you on Saturday, I bet. So,
and sing you happy birthday.
Make sure you say happy birthday to them. Otherwise, just ignore them, Matt.
Even easier for me to pretend that it's my birthday party.
There you go.
But
very nice.
Excited for that and very happy to be here. I'm glad we made this happen.
Okay. Well, just to talk about what's coming up here in the next couple of days, of course, tomorrow night, we've got Caitlin live from my apartment with Taren and Melissa. And I'm also very excited to announce that, Taren, I don't even know if you know this, Sunday night, Kemi will be joining us for the recap.
Oh, yes. Am I going to be on that one, though?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes.
Me, Taren, and Kemi
on Sunday night. So, Taryn, are you excited about that?
Very excited about Cammy. I can't wait to talk to her.
Okay. All right. And of course, Taryn will have the live feed update in the morning. And what else is going on, Taryn?
Make sure you check out the, I know that this morning's live feed update has been delayed in the feed.
Scott's traveling today. Yes. I suspect he might have gotten held up.
Yes. He said that that he will get it up hopefully at some point tonight. So make sure you wait.
So next set to Tommy, I think.
No feet were involved. I would make sure you check that one out. I feel like we went through a lot of good stuff this morning. So make sure you tune in for that one. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, I'll be live to update you on everything that happened today. Lots of stuff to cover for that. And of course, tomorrow night we'll be live, and check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong.
Okay. And then one last thing that on Friday afternoon, I did the Facebook Friday in our Robbins Podcast patron group. And I posted that that it's available to the public. If you want to check that out on our Patreon page at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks to John Johnston, who had his camera out at Hearts of Reality. I have a lot of reality star cameos from the day or the night at Hearts of Reality, which was very fun. So that's available on our Patreon page at robhasawebsite.com/patron.
That was so much fun. I smiled for like the entire hour and a half that I listened to that. I could not recommend it anymore.
It's about an hour in. You know, we get I take video calls with the patrons every Friday night. And so I have that going on for about an hour. And then John called in from Hearts of Reality. And so we have a lot of fun with a lot of survivors and Big Brother players hanging out by the pool.
We had a Silas cameo. Like, I know this is a Big Brother podcast, but Silas was there. Hello. It was awesome to hear.
Don't forget, speaking of long lost survivors, Rob Zabaknik was the guest on the most recent Talking with T-Bird. And we hashed out our beef from the 2010's Survivor 10 year anniversary party.
Oh boy. I have to listen to that.
Yeah. We're conflict management. One day after 10 years, all my reality star feuds, I'm going to work them all out one at a time.
Rob with two B's.
It'll happen. Yeah.
There's nothing T-Bird can't do. Nothing.
Okay. All right. Shout out to McCray, who was in the chat tonight. Come on and chat with us some more, McCray. Taryn, we got anything else?
I think that's all we have for you. Yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up and answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer is not available in all areas.